Welcome, Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. And we're a group of law enforcement professionals to talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. You recognize him. We've got Captain Brett Bartlett on the show, formerly Captain Tampa Police Department, 32 years of exemplary law enforcement experience, and we're not done, the founder of Exumber Defense Solutions at exumberdefense.com. So thanks for being on the show, Captain. Love having you here.
I had nothing else going on, so here I am. Yeah,
there you go. Hey, shout out to our sponsors. You know, our title sponsor is Gulls at Gulls.com. You know, Brett and I, not this year, we were not able to hook up with the CEO of Gulls, Mike Fadden, but last year, Brett and I sat down with Mike. What a great guy, great company, and they're our title sponsor. And Brett was there when it all happened, and they wanted a bigger role in supporting Leo Roundtable and what we do and helping get this information out to the troops. And, you know, there's a lot of smaller agencies that don't have the luxury of having being able to meet with the district attorney's office or the state attorney's office and getting legal bulletins and they have an in-house attorney to explain everything. They don't benefit from all that stuff. And so we tried to bring in the search and seizure experts, you know, like attorney Anthony Bandero and some of these other breakdowns. So so thanks to Gauls. Also, we have ComplianTechnologies.com. They're our satellite sponsor. They have our favorite product called The Glove. GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.live, SafeguardRecruiting.com, our streaming sponsor. And not only do they help you get recruits the right way for your police agency, but SafeguardRecruiting.com, they allow us to stream to over a million followers during this live show to social media. It's a great fit. And also twobells.com. They built a new online store at leoroundtable.com. Look, the shirt that I've got on, you can get this. You can get like the coffee mug behind me. We've got so much cool gear, hats, shirts, pants, accessories like mugs and stuff. Go to leoroundtable.com, which is our website. Upper right-hand corner, you'll see an online store. Go there. It was built by Two Bells. We don't charge anything extra. When we built it, we said, look, we only want you to charge what it's going to cost to make the stuff. Of course, the makers, the people that produce the stuff and put the embroidery or the silk screen on, they'll make a little bit of money, but we don't make a dime. So when we order stuff, I pay exactly what you guys pay, and the prices are dirt cheap, and it just allows us to give our gear out there. So please check that out. A shout out to Brian Burns from the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying our content, Brian. I talked to him yesterday. Great guy. He's interviewing me on Monday about the new Leo Affairs at leoaffairs.ca. And also, Dietrich, former lawman.com, and Travis Shades with lawofficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make this show happen. And now, what in the world are we talking about today? We got two stories. And Brett, I kind of threw one in on you. I heard about it, and there just wasn't anything in the news cycle yet. But the first one, training credited for saving lives after explosives-laden truck rams Michigan synagogue. And then we've got the ODU shooter, which is the Old Dominion University shooter in Virginia, has been identified as a former National Guardsman with ISIS conviction. Yeah, you heard that right. Yeah, there's a judge that let him out. He just got out of prison. Then we got, I'm going to skip over that next one, but we've got a Pasco deputy injured in a shooting after the suspect shot two other people. We've got Chino police released body cam footage of officers shooting a guy that's armed with a knife. We've got the UFC, that's right, mixed martial arts and the FBI are partnering together for a historic first. Wait till you hear about what they're doing together. Ash Patel is all excited about it. A 2023 video released of a shootout between a murder suspect and a Pierce County deputies and a canine. We haven't covered this yet, these next two stories, but they're here in case Brett wants to. We have a canine that catches the bad guy underneath the crawl space, underneath the house, where you can't get away. That was interesting. And then we have a cruiser. They don't show how he got up on the empty trailer that's being pulled by I can't remember whether it was a stolen truck, but he's being pulled by a bad guy. And the cop car ends up all the way on top of this trailer that's being pulled by the bad guy. And so the cop's he's going along for the ride in his cruiser. A second cruiser has to come up and do a pit of the bad guys. And just everything breaks loose after that. Cop car rolls off the trailer. It jackknives. Bad guy, you know, T-bones a tree. It's kind of crazy. So we'll get to all that stuff if we have time. So, Brett, are you ready? You ready to start off with the two main topics? All right, I get a thumbs up from Captain Brett. So our first one, not excited about this happening, but we know, especially what's going on with Iran right now, we expect some stuff to go on. What I can tell you is that I believe that if we keep handling incidents like this, the way this is handled, they're going to be few and far between. And I would much rather go through incidents like this in today's day and age than waiting for a nuclear bomb to be coming on a long-range missile. So Tampa Free Press at TampaFPE.com. Training credited for saving lives after explosives-laden truck rams a Michigan synagogue. So most of us heard about this yesterday. The suspect drove a truck packed with explosives into the entrance of Temple Israel, which is in West Bloomfield, Michigan. And this happened on Thursday afternoon. And he breached the building, but he stopped by on-site security after that. So the attack happened just weeks after the FBI Detroit field office. They actually held a specialized active shooter and threat preparedness training at the synagogue with the clergy and with the staff. Brilliant. No, I mean, the FBI, this is the new FBI, Brett. You remember in the old administration, we would always talk about the FBI and we're talking about, you know, this guy and that guy and just how much they sucked. And they had, I mean, it was horrible, right? So FBI Director Kash Patel confirmed that the Bureau had previously visited the facility to conduct active shooter attack prevention and preparedness, and they did it there. The program focused on run, hide, fight principles and making it, high-pressure decisions during a live breach. Sheriff Michael Burchard, he reported that the attacker was successfully halted by the synagogue security team once he entered the building. No children or staff were injured in the incident by the suspect. One security guy, was hospitalized after being struck by the vehicle during the initial breach. And we had 30 law enforcement officers treated for smoke inhalation during the incident. And according to the sheriff, the prior training was a decisive factor in the outcome of this nightmare. And here's a quote from the sheriff saying, what happens when they show up? That's where training and preparation kicks in. He praised the security staff for stopping the threat before anyone inside could be harmed. And the FBI's January training session, they just had it, right? They utilized scenario-based exercises designed to help staff practice responses to the exact type of intrusion that occurred on Thursday. And I love scenario-based training. I know you do too, Brett. You're a trainer. You've got to be all over this.
Well, I'll tell you what. This is going to sound a little sarcastic, but here it goes. If you didn't expect a terrorist attack in West Bloomfield, which has always been a hotbed known for terrorist activity, of course, I'm kidding there. Nobody knows. Nothing bad has ever happened in West Bloomfield. Okay, so all this indicates is just when you think you're not near a center of criminal activity or not near a well-known location, that's what's going to happen. And I'm telling you right now, from experience with the synagogues here in the Tampa area, they got some good security going on. I've dealt with them, some of them from the agency we used to go to. Here's a big thing that citizens need to know. When you hear the gunshots, yes, something bad is happening. They've got to understand they can't look around. They can't ask their buddy what's happening. Oh, what's that noise? Oh, it's probably some. No, you need to get out. You need to run. If you can't run, you need to hide. If you can't hide, then you need to pull the gun that's on you and you need to kill the bad guy. Now, we have trained response people. And then they have to worry about physical security. And I don't know about this location, but did they have bollards installed outside to stop vehicles from approaching the building? You know, not everybody can afford to do that. But that's another thing people need to look at. Okay. Stop them at the street. If you can't stop them at the street, stop them at the door. If you can't stop them at the door, stop them inside. You have to layer your security. But again, all that costs money. But here's the best thing people could do for themselves. Realize that no matter where you live, it could happen to you today, right now.
Tis true, guys. Keep your head on a swivel. Like the captain said, it's going to happen. It's not if, it's when. So expect this stuff to be happening. But I love the fact that the sheriff went public, praised these guys, maybe let the second guy think twice before trying something like this, because it didn't go like the bad guy wanted it to. And I see we got Sergeant George, you know, chiming in as well about perfect timing on the FBI. Yep, it's the new FBI. It's under Trump 2.0. If you're ready, Brett, we got another story here. And TampaFP.com, again, I love the Tampa Free Press. So we have the Old Dominion University, the shooter, and this is in Virginia, identified as a former National Guardsman with ISIS conviction. Yeah, you guys heard that correctly. So they've identified this guy who opened fire at Old Dominion University. This happened on Thursday. I'm not giving his name. He's a former National Guardsman, though, previously convicted of supporting ISIS. And you heard that correctly. Previously convicted. The shooting resulted in one death and two injuries before the suspect ended up being killed. Now, FBI Director Kash Patel confirmed the incident on X, announcing that the agency's officially investigating the attack as an act of terrorism. Now, he credited a group of students and law enforcement for stopping the threat. Here we go again. The shooter is now deceased thanks to a group of brave students who stepped in and subdued him. And our bad guy's history with the federal law enforcement, it dates back all the way to 2016. And according to the Justice Department, our bad guy met with an ISIS member and an undercover FBI informant, expressed a desire to execute a mass shooting similar to what happened at Fort Hood back in 2009. And in a sentencing memo, because he was convicted from his 2017 trial, it detailed how he attempted to provide funds to the terrorist organization, and he tried to purchase an AK-47 for what he believed was a plot to kill U.S. military personnel. And in the 2017 memo, it goes on to say that they noted that an ISIS broker named Abu Sadini, he introduced this bad guy to the informant. It was the result of the broker is Sudini's actions in brokering introduction with the informant that the FBI learned that this guy even existed and that he wanted to be material support for ISIL. And while prosecutors originally were seeking a 20-year sentence, there's a judge we can blame for this, and it's U.S. District Judge Liam O'Grady, and he sentenced our bad guy instead of the 20 years, which is what they wanted, 11 years in prison. And so, yeah, he got out in December 2024, months before the shooting in Norfolk. So, commercial break, guys. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
My family only cares about one thing, that I come home safe.
At Gall's, every order begins with a promise. Made with purpose. Stitched for support. Backed with pride. Answered by dedicated hands. Delivering the standard you have sworn to uphold. We serve more than the mission. We serve the person. Each piece is engineered to help get our first responders through the shift and back home safe.
Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host, and we're joined by Captain Brett Bartlett, retired former law enforcement, retired captain from the Tampa Police Department. We've been talking about the shooter from the Old Dominion University, and that is in Virginia, and a former National Guardsman who was convicted for supporting ISIS. And instead of giving him 20 years like they wanted, the judge only gave him 11. He got out in December of 2024. And of course, now this has happened. Captain Bartlett.
You know, unfortunately, an ROTC, a retired Army officer who was their ROTC, I'm not sure what they call it, commander, was killed. I also heard, and Betty Dunn, one of our viewers, reminded me, one of those ROTC students stabbed this guy, bad guy, to death, stabbed him to death with a knife because guns aren't allowed on campus.
Yeah.
But bad guys bring guns to campus, but the students aren't allowed to protect themselves. Thank goodness this one student had a knife. At least that's what I've heard. I hope that's really the case. I hope they cut his head off. I hope they just stuck it in and twisted it around a little bit. But you've got to be ready. And these colleges, why do bad guys attack colleges? Because nobody can fight back. Imagine if you told USF, our local big, I'm going to bring a gun on campus to protect myself. They'd lose their minds.
I'm telling you, Brett, I got the idea. I got the gold mine idea. You get an ammo company that's looking to have a little bit, maybe bigger stake in the market. They want a little bit market share. Mm-hmm. Get them to advertise that they soak their bullets, their projectiles, in some kind of pork product. And then they let them dry. Mm-hmm. And then you can fire them when you have a terrorist situation.
Well, that may work or not.
Instead of going to meet virgins, they'll go to meet something, you know,
I got
slightly worn virgins.
I think I'm way ahead of that. My cardiologist, after a test, said, I believe you've been soaked in a pork product. So,
so we're similar. Yeah.
Yeah. Similar thing. So it's deadly. I know that it's deadly for both people concerned.
We got MBS typing over on Rumble about the capacity of the rounds of ammunition in this magazine, which, you know, since we're a national talk show, I'm not going to repeat that. We don't want anybody knocking on his door. But if you're ready, Brett, you know, that's another good story. Some brave people out there. And it looks like they're expecting this stuff to happen and that they're prepared for it. So sure. This is America.
You have to expect it. Now, remember, Chip, back when we were on the street all those years ago, you know, we're taking a burglary or Agus, whatever we're taking. We would always ask the victim, did you think today was going to be the day it was going to happen to you? And of course, the answer is no, I didn't expect it. But there has to be a paradigm shift. We have to expect it today, in the next 5 minutes, in the next 30 seconds. But we have to balance that between living our lives and living in condition black, where we're always expecting. We have to find that balance where, first off, we need to get our faces out of our phones when we're out there in public. That's the first thing we have to do. Second thing is get a gun, carry a gun. That's the big thing.
You know, Brett, you said something that stuck with me. And you said that, you know, we've trained all our lives. I mean, it seems like all our lives, but you know, half our lives we've trained. And there's a part, you know, guys that are built like us want to be tested. And right. I don't want anything bad to happen to anybody or really anywhere. But if it goes down, and I know I don't even have to ask Brett. I know that he feels the exact same way. If it goes down and it's going to be around here, I'm hoping that I'm there and that I can, that yeah. I'm the dude that gets to neutralize the freaking bad guy.
Yeah, we have talked about that. Down in the secret places where nobody visits, the warrior always, at least in my belief, I don't want bad things to happen, but test me.
Yeah.
Test so, me. I want to be there. I want to be there to hear the bad guy who tries to hurt my church. His last words are, crap, that was a huge mistake on my part.
Yeah,
right before he goes to his 70 virgins all yelling, you don't pay attention to me. That's hell for him. That's going to be bad for him.
Yeah, if he gets shot with my bullets, though, it won't be 70 virgins. It'll be 70.
Right, he'll go somewhere
slightly
else.
Used, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be 70 twice divorcees.
Yeah. So, look, guys, if you're watching, look, I still run the cops, and I say cops, retired cops that don't carry, or they just don't, or they... You know, in Florida, it's a little different because, you know, now it's a little easier to carry and stuff. But for whatever reason, they just don't carry. They don't see the importance of it. And you know, it's always shame on you, because when you're in a situation and you can't do anything and you wish that you would have and you had the capability to, but you just didn't exercise, especially in today's day and age, not to mention the fact what we did for a living and that I've run into bad guys. I could tell you stories where bad guys told me what my wife looked like. They were following me in the mall, told me they walked in the parking lot, told me what kind of car I drove. I've been in a restaurant sitting down, and a guy I was investigating for homicide was waiting on me, and he walked up to take my order, and he turned around and walked away. He didn't recognize me. I mean, there are all kinds of things that happen. I've had people prepare my food, found out after the fact that they knew I was a cop, you know, investigating some entertainers, let's just say. So guys, you never know. Always be prepared. If you're not, I'm sorry, shame on you. Unless there's a good reason why you're not carrying, there's some issue going on, but you've got the ability. You've got LEOSA, AKA HR218. You can carry anywhere in the US, including territories. There is no excuse. You got to qualify once a year. Well, you freaking should qualify. You should shoot at least once a year. So,
well, you know, somebody came up with this recently. I heard it recently. I don't think I made it up, but I'm going to say I made it up. I am my family's Secret Service. I will die to protect my people. And this is a tribute to our good friends at Secret Service, Mike Roche, especially. You know, we've known Mike for you know, decades. I will be out there. I will step in front of that bullet.
Yep.
And if Mike I go Roche. Down, and I'm not kidding. This is not any hyperbole. No kidding. If I go down, it's because I'm out of bullets. I'm going to step in front, and I am going to, even though nobody pays me to do this anymore, I'm going to protect my people.
He wrote the book Mass Killers.
Yep.
And
this day and age, everybody better be reading that book. And like I told Mike one time, the sad thing about his book is it needs to be redone about every 30 days with new stories up front.
Good point. Well, guys, moving along, and I'm just going to whet the appetite because we're coming up on a commercial break here. But This next one, we have a Pasco deputy injured in a shooting after the suspect shot two other people.
Hey, come on out, man. Come on out. Come on out. Come on out, or dogs can get you. Come out. Come out. Come out, or dogs gonna get you. Watch them. Watch them. I'm hit.
This is in Newport Richey, Florida, so not far away from where, actually a lot closer to Brett than to me, but it's close to home. Stick with us, guys. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com, and they are committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing what they're called their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Device Technology. Now, their flagship product, we all know by now, is called the Glove. It's helped officers, well, not only tens of thousands of times anymore, they've had over 250,000 deployments. No injuries, no deaths. It's an amazing stat. And you heard that correctly, no injuries. The Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly they can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transition to a sidearm or conductive energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me and Brett, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions has ever come along. Go to ComplianTechnologies.com today. Tell them that Chip and Brent sent you, ComplianTechnologies.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Captain Brett Bartlett, retired from Tampa Police Department. We left off talking about a Pasco deputy that was injured in a shooting after the suspect shot two other people. Now, we're getting this from Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Better. And in Pasco County, they've got a little place called Newport Richey. It's kind of a special place. So the Pasco County Sheriff's Office, this deputy and two civilians ended up being shot by a gunman on Monday, according to Sheriff Chris Nocco. Good guy, by the way. The shooting happened at around noon on Monday in Newport Richey. Now, the sheriff said the incident started when the suspect, Aaron Rodriguez, he started yelling at a man and a woman, and they were just like clearing land. They were all neighbors, and he lived across the street, and they're clearing a lot. So this dude gets irate, irate, and gets upset. He starts threatening the bad guy that's with the female. He's yelling at both of them to get out there. And then, according to the sheriff, the male victim began calling 911 only for Rodriguez afterwards to shoot both the man and the woman. Now, the woman ended up running away. But she was shot. The male victim collapsed at the intersection. So when deputies get there, they render aid to both victims, even though the woman, she didn't get far. You know, so they're rendering aid to both of them. And while they're doing that, the male victim points to the house where this bad guy's hiding, Rodriguez. So we have three deputies going over there, including the canine handler. And so he's pivotal in this. And so they begin approaching the house, and they're ordering the bad guy to drop his firearm. So just to put the verbal, the visual picture here for you guys, when they walk along the side of the house or going to the backyard, there is a garage in the rear of the house, like a two-car garage, and it's open, and the bad guy's in there. So our guy wearing the body cam is on the left hand of the screen. He's our canine handler. He's got a canine on his right side, and he's got his gun in his right hand. And so they're moving to the left, and as he moves, he's getting more of a line of sight into the garage, but it's kind of hard to see who's in there. And then to our canine handler's right, you've got another deputy that's moving laterally with them. That deputy has it looks like a ballistic shield, but from what I can tell, I did not see a firearm. It looked like he was holding the ballistic shield with both hands, and that he was unarmed. I mean, he had a gun on his side. His pistol was on his side still, and he was right-handed, but he had the ballistic shield. So as they move, then they see our bad guy. And remember, now he's already shot two people, so they have reason to believe that this guy's armed. So they start giving the commands to drop the gun. He does not. And then shots start being fired. And during the incident, the canine handler gets shot. I got to admit, the canine handler, he was pretty good because he controlled the dog. The dog didn't, you know, run in there and be a distraction during this. And he was threatening to release the dog on the bad guy. But I got to admit, the canine handler, before he got shot, he was getting some serious he was getting some, it looked like he had some pretty good target acquisition, his stance. I don't know. I was pretty impressed with how he handled himself, but it looked, I don't know if he got shot. Maybe you can tell me, Brett, the gun went flying out of his right hand to the left. And I mean, it was almost like he threw it, but I know he didn't throw it, but I don't know where he got hit or if it was the gun that got hit, but that was crazy. And so the handler goes down, he gets the gun back. His dog's going a little crazy, but his dog's right there with the handler, and the other deputies are putting, you know, lead down, you know, down range into the garage to help him out. He even gets his own tourniquet out, the canine handler, and anyhow, bad guy ends up getting neutralized. Now, the deputy was taken to the hospital, expected to be okay. The male victim died. That's the best news. And the woman's condition is, well, actually, I'm sorry, the male victim died. No, I'm mistaken, it was our bad guy. So the male victim ended up dying at the scene, but the female victim, they don't know what happened to her. And so that's the way this thing ends. And I'm just trying to look and see, did it say that the bad guy ended up dying in this?
I don't remember for sure. It's still unclear to me as well.
Yeah, I don't see they say where they say what the outcome of the bad guy was. And so I was really hoping that he was the one that died, but yeah. Yep, I don't see that listed at all. So, but anyhow, commentary, Brett, on the shooting.
Yeah, here's an interesting point, and I'm not even sure it's showed up in the public.
He lived because the sheriff's talking later on about him paying for his actions, so they don't.
Okay.
But we said whether he lives or dies. So yeah. I guess at the time the article was written, he was still alive anyhow. Or maybe he meant if he dies, he'll go to hell and he'll pay that way.
Yeah,
I don't know.
So I was at the academy the last few days, and we're teaching young people, you know, how to get a gun out, how to reload a gun. And this always this question comes up. Do I press the magazine release and hope my magazine falls out? Or do I pull the magazine out? This is the question that's always presented in the academy class. And here's my answer. Metal magazines fall out of metal guns pretty easy. Plastic magazines do not fall out of plastic guns easily because there's more friction. Now, knowing that, we saw some video yesterday, and I think it was the canine officer got shot. He's trying to put another magazine in his gun that already has a magazine in it.
Oh, okay.
So he's tapping on it. And a few times after that, he realized what he did. Here's an issue for everybody. You're going to react under pressure the way you have been trained or the way you've trained yourself. And so the discussion in the academy class was, look, you can't always count on twisting the gun rapidly to get rid of that magazine. Now, I'm not sure that's what the deputy did. I'm not really sure at all. But I know this. You're going to react under pressure to the way you've been trained or not trained. But it was interesting that he was trying to put a new magazine in a gun that still had a magazine in it. That's what we focused in on as we were discussing this yesterday. The rest of it, you know, I'm glad they were okay. Bad guy with a gun, you have to take the guy out. Pretty, I don't want to say standard stuff, but we've seen this kind of stuff before. Nothing is standard in police work, but that's what we talked about yesterday. I thought that was really interesting that, and what we call, again, I don't know why it happened, but it's called a training scar. Okay. If you train a certain way and it's not a good way, you're going to do it and you have to be retrained to get rid of that training scar. You have to open up that wound and you have to be retrained the way it is. And I remember when we started teaching up in Pascal Hernandez, some of those Tampa guys, they said, oh yeah, we know all about the Tampa twist. I said, what are you talking about? They said, yeah, in Tampa, all you guys choose to press the magazine release and flick the gun. I said, I never heard of such a thing, but that's what they were calling it, the Tampa twist.
Oh my gosh, really?
But we teach our kids in the academy, reach up, grab that magazine and pull it out because you never really know. You can shake that gun all you want to, but you can't guarantee it's going to come out unless you pull it out.
Yeah, good point.
So that's my take on this whole situation.
Hey, and so what do we owe you? I mean, I know you usually charge for this. Is there like, are you on the clock or something? Or are these billable hours, Captain?
Yeah, just watch your mailbox. I'll see what happens.
Okay. All right. There you go, guys. Hey, another benefit from watching Leo Roundtable Live. You get this free advice from a guy with a ton of experience. So if you're ready, Captain, let's go ahead and go to the next story here that we've got with the video component. And, you know, this one, I think everybody's going to find this interesting. We have a canine one, too, that I can't wait to cover. But Chino police released body cam footage of officers shooting a guy that's armed with a knife.
Stop! 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 Please! Stop! Drop the knife.
No.
Ma'am, get back. Drop the knife now. Drop it now. Drop the knife.
Officers attempted to de-escalate the situation and ordered Johnson to drop the knife multiple times. Johnson refused and chased the victim down the hallway with the knife as she attempted to retreat to a bedroom, at which time an officer-involved shooting occurred. Viewer discretion is advised. Here is footage from the second responding officer.
Drop it!
Now, this is at rumble.com. Again, this is Butters the Chino. So Chino, California, the shooting happens when officers, they're responding to a DV call. So it's domestic violence. And in the video, you can see the officers enter the home. They're telling a 29-year-old named Hoyce Johnson to drop the knife before they shoot him multiple times. And before they get there, there's a woman inside the home, and there's someone outside the home can hear her say, "Hey, don't kill me, don't stab me." And so that neighbor that heard her saying that called 911. So the officers get there. Johnson, when they get to the top of the stairs, he's holding a kitchen knife aggressively towards this woman that's inside the home. I'm curious to see what you think about how they did, because they get to the top of a staircase, and it's not like with railings; it's got walls and stuff, so you can't really. You can just go up or down. You can't like go to the side and stuff. And this bad guy is at the top. He's got a knife, but the victim's over to the right, and there's a hallway there. So what happens? They get a man. So he's saying, "Hey, shoot me." And then he refuses to drop the knife. And then he runs to his left, which is to the officer's right. And now all of a sudden the officer loses a line of sight of the guy. Can't even see him. Because he wasn't far enough at the top of the stairs. So it's an interesting conundrum. And so they end up getting line of sight and then dropping the guy and shooting him. But he's in the hallway. It was really, really difficult to see the line of sight that the officer had when he took those shots, because there's a victim in there in that backdrop too somewhere. But the guy drops the knife. He goes to the hospital for his injuries. He's listed in stable condition. That's the way it ends. Captain Brett.
So we get a call, a man with a knife, got a victim. They're in the house. They hear this woman screaming, and it's blood-curdling scream. They go up the stairs. They see a guy with a knife. So it's all adding up, right? They say, drop the knife. Now, what should have happened after he didn't drop the knife was that they should have killed him. But they yelled several times, drop the knife. We talked about that a million times. How many times do you say, drop the knife? How many times do you say, drop the gun before you shoot the gun? Now, they yelled three times. They didn't shoot him. He was able to turn and move towards the victim, okay? So their inactivity could have gotten her killed. But we hear the department spokesperson, they tried to de-escalate. Oh, stop it. That is such a stupid thing. De-escalate is this. Drop the knife. And then the best de-escalation technique with a guy with a knife in his hand is to shoot him.
Yeah, it could have ended much differently. You're right. Because as soon as he ran, I don't know how he didn't get to the woman and be able to stab her. Guys, we're going for our next commercial break. Stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys. Time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And, you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns and we deal with ammo every day. But it's what we don't know about them that gets us into trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and attorney Ken Apianko. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and even police departments nationwide. Now, the founder, we both know him, Brett and I do, Daniel Kelly, and he's got an opportunity for you. If you have your own agency, you can host a seminar for absolutely no cost. Amazing opportunity. Go to gunlearn.com to get more information. Again, that's gunlearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by retired Captain Brett Bartlett with Exumber Defense Solutions at exumberdefense.com. Brett, we're breaking down the last use of force. Can you refresh our audience about what we're talking about, or are you ready to move on?
Yeah, a bad guy with a knife. Police go upstairs. We have a victim. They told him to drop the knife, and he didn't. No kidding. They told him two more times he didn't drop the knife. No kidding. The bad guy is not going to go, if you'll tell me six times, then I'll drop the gun. Bad guys don't listen. And but the spokesperson for the agency, oh my gosh, the officer tried to de-escalate. Listen, man, when there's a knife and a victim, you de-escalate by pulling the trigger.
You know, there are people that will watch that video and say, well, the guy wasn't even, he was too far away from the cop, you know, to be a threat and stuff. Well, he actually, you can't rely on the distance portrayed in a body-worn camera, but I was more worried about the victim at that point, and people don't take that into consideration.
Let's talk about the officers coming up the stairs, right? What if that bad guy had chosen to run forward and attack the officer on the stairs? Now, where do you go typically when you're attacked? Backwards.
Yeah.
Backwards. That officer would have fallen down, maybe hit another officer. Now we got a mess.
Yeah.
Okay. Just give a command. And I tell people this. Don't give a command that you're not willing to enforce right away.
True.
Don't do it.
And that's why it's important to work for an agency that's going to have your back too. I mean,
good luck with that.
Well, I mean, you know, there are some guys that work in some agencies that wouldn't do this for fear of being prosecuted, whether it's, you know, Seattle, Portland, Oakland, San Francisco.
I'm not buying that. You know what? If you're scared, get out.
Well, they should. They get absolutely out. Should. You
Walk
know?
Away. Go get another job.
So, and I say that mostly for the guys that are looking to get in law enforcement, for the few that are looking to do that, you guys got to be smart. You got to look at the agency that you're going to go for, and shame on you if you don't. You could pay the ultimate price. There are guys that have not made good decisions. I'll admit, when I first started at the age of 21, I wasn't really, back then we weren't really concerned with stuff like that, right? And I didn't look at the pension system to see what the difference was between the city and the county. But I quickly became aware of the difference and how lucky I was. And it's important stuff, guys. Well, Brett, I'm going to give you a choice here. Let me cover the UFC thing. It's kind of an interesting story. UFC.com. So this is where it came from. UFC and the FBI, they partnered together for a historic first exclusive training seminar. So the world's leading mixed martial arts promotion, the UFC, and the FBI, Federal Bureau of Investigation, they have announced a historic first-of-its-kind collaboration where current and former UFC fighters, they're going to the FBI Special Agent Academy in Quantico. And this is going to happen. Now, look, it's not some long, drawn-out thing. It's going to be 2 days, March the 15th and the 15th. So actually, tomorrow and the next day. Saturday and Sunday, and they're hosting an exclusive training seminar for Academy students and senior FBI staff from around the world. So 2 days is not going to be enough to do any, but hopefully it'll whet the appetite where they actually get some training, some serious training in. The athletes, along with the UFC matchmaker Mick Maynard, they're providing insight into how they train for competition, demonstrating specific techniques and tactics, offering a unique perspective to the students as they prepare to enter the field office. And here's a quote from Dana White. We know who Dana White is. I have a tremendous respect for the FBI and the work they do every day to protect this country. And he's a good guy. He said, our UFC fighters are some of the baddest men and women on the planet, and they're heading to Quantico to train the best FBI agents in mixed martial arts. It's an incredible opportunity for our athletes to experience, and we're proud to support the FBI in strengthening their defense techniques. You're, Brett,
I'm not buying it.
Say,
I'm not buying it.
Tell us.
How long does it take to become a good MMA fighter?
Oh, well, dude, how long does it take to become a good defensive tactics student?
I've been asked my whole adult career, do you think I should go learn hands-on self-defense? I said, you know how many years it takes to become proficient at that? Now, if they come up with a good program, and if they go with those FBI and they teach them and they refresh them, 3, 4, 6 times a year, they bring them onto the mats and they do it right on. But you know they're not going to do that. They're going to come in, they're going to toot their own horn saying, we gave this to the guys, and they're going to walk away from it.
Yeah, well, look, the only thing, and I mentioned, you heard me say it before, I hope it whets the appetite, because you're right, a 2-day class, and then the supervisor's taking it, please. And they're going to be, it's going to be tame. But you're right, there's got to be a curriculum, and there's got to be, they've got to be not remedial, but there's got to be like some kind of an in-service training where they're going at, I mean, I doubt it's going to happen more than once a year.
You can't teach somebody a physical skill once and expect it to be carried out. Yeah. You cannot teach them and then refresh them once a year at in-service and expect them to do that. Remember all the stuff we were taught? You know, God bless our guys. Jim Diamond, very, very good at his job. Very good at it. But over the years, it changed, and then we didn't get follow-up. You know what really works? Punching a bad guy right in the nose.
Well,
punching him in the nose.
I was a DT instructor, so look, I have a lot of experience in DT. I did it for decades, right? And yeah. And so I taught cops and in service, and I taught recruits.
No, you didn't teach cops and in service. You showed them it in service. Showed them.
They had already been taught at the academy level. But what I would say is this: there's a lot of options, but we actually controlled what we taught people because we wanted people to take one move that was really worked really, really well for them. You know, they may not be good at throwing or maybe a gooseneck come along, but they're really good at doing maybe an arm bar. Have them, and especially for the smaller, lighter officers, giving them a tool that would work well for them. That they work because there's just techniques that I'm not especially good at, like close quarter elbow strikes. I've never really felt that comfortable in doing those. But a lot of the other techniques, yes. So teach them a technique that they get really, really good at. And they don't have to choose. They maybe don't have to choose from five different techniques, but give them three that are excellent at, and that's what you strive for. And then I don't like guys going out and getting martial arts training because it bastardizes what you've already taught them. So the first time we teach, like at Tampa, you don't punch bad guy unless it's a life and death situation. You don't hit a bad guy in the face or the head with your weapon hand, your strong hand. You just don't, and you do that with your reaction hand. But you got a guy in martial arts that's all of a sudden getting a guy in a choke or a carotid restraint because that's what they teach him. And you just don't think. You do, like you said earlier, how you train to do. So you don't want training guys to do something different than what you teach them. That's why my advice is if you have a DT program, only take the DT training unless you're so advanced you can turn it on and turn it off when you get into a fight because you don't want guys – you know, doing a fireman's carry and throwing people and then you're liable, you know, so.
Yeah. I just think that it needs, if you're going to pick a technique, I got it. Pick a simple technique. I got it. But you can't do it once a year. It's impossible. It's impossible. Yeah,
well, these guys, it's a complicated 2 days not skill. It. It's got a, no. This is just a whet your appetite. So look, we got Pierce County deputies. Let's cover the canine with the guy in the crawl space or what's the vehicle, the pit on the vehicle on the trailer. Which one?
The pit.
Okay, we're going to do
that. I've never seen nothing like that.
All right, so here we go. Rumble.com, this is Butters the Channel. Police cruiser rolls over after a pit maneuver when it's stuck on a trailer during a chase. So we're in Harrison Township, Ohio. Cincinnati police, they released this new dash cam video. It's a multi-jurisdictional police chase. It came to an end in Harrison County on a Saturday. Now, the suspect led police on a chase across Hamilton County after they attempted to do a traffic stop in Norwood, and it's 4:29, middle, you know, almost rush hour, right? Authorities say the suspect identified as Aisha Harris had outstanding charges for felonious assault and possession of weapons while under disability, leading the Norwood police officers to initiate the stop. So as police proceeded to do that, officers say that Harris fled the scene, multiple police departments, multiple agencies responding and pursuing over a span of 90 minutes, an hour and a half, while the vehicle is going west into the state of Indiana. And before long, police say that Harris, our bad guy, loops back into Ohio. The chase is coming to an end over the Ohio border in Harrison Township. And in the newly released dash cam, it's just over 30 seconds. The final moments of the chase, you've got, as Harris's vehicle, there's a white SUV, and he's got a flatbed trailer behind him, and he proceeds to turn in the Harrison Township, and there's for some reason, a police vehicle ends up on top of this thing, Cincinnati police car cruiser. So now you've got a separate police cruiser, has to pit the bad guy's vehicle that's fleeing with the cop car and the trailer, and when he pits him, the trailer jackknifes the cop car in the trailer that can't get off. He starts flipping, you know, sideways over and over and over again. And then the bad guy's SUV that's pulling the trailer head on right into a tree. Brett Bartlett.
First off, I'm watching the video, putting myself in the place of the officer who's stuck up on the trailer and can't. He must be yelling, don't pit me. Don't pit me. I have never seen anything like that. He's on. And y'all, please watch the video. Pursuing officer drives up, not on purpose, I know, up onto a flatbed trailer. Now he's in the chase. He's the one being chased.
Yeah, you're right. Great, great, right. Hey, Captain Bartlett, thank you so much for being on the show. Another great show with the captain. Exemplar Defense Solutions at exemplardefense.com. Guys, go to thegulls.com, our title sponsor, compliantechnologies.com, governor.com, medicare.live, safeguardrecruiting.com, and also twobells.com. Check out our online store at leoroundtable.com. We'll see you guys back Monday, 12 noon Eastern.